Our text this morning is Acts chapter 25, verses 13 through 21. So as you're turning there, I will note that in this passage, we find the Apostle Paul between his third and fourth trial. And these trials are for the same unfounded charges that were brought against him by the Jewish leadership. He does not speak here, but the discussion is all about him, about the Apostle Paul. Festus and Agrippa II are the actors in this text, but Agrippa has the silent part. Our focus is upon Festus. Now, we know that Festus succeeded Felix as procurator of Judea. But there is scant other information about him in both secular and church history. For the most part, he is believed to be one of the more able Judean governors. But alas, he is, first of all, a politician. And that is what we will see in this passage. So let's read Acts 25, verses 13 through 21. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. Against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such matter of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. So as our custom is, we will seek to open up the text. So in verse 13, after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea. Now literally, Luke wrote, a certain number of days having passed through. So what's interesting about this is that Luke is painting a picture. It's as if the days were just flowing by until one day Agrippa and Bernice showed up. And what's interesting is Luke is telling the story. And today, when we go to the movies or watch TV where they're telling the story, sometimes they have to convey the passing of time, right? So on the film, either they show something where time goes by, or there's a calendar underneath and it shows the dates going by, or whatever. But it's the same idea, conveying the passage of time in a picturesque manner. And as it turns out, Luke can do this with three words. So, anyway, that's why I love Luke. So we would say then more simply that several days afterwards, that is after Festus had come back to Caesarea after visiting Jerusalem, Agrippa and Bernice arrived in Caesarea and greeted Festus. So most likely, Agrippa and Bernice had traveled from their palace in Caesarea Philippi in order to greet Festus at his palace in Caesarea Maritima. So both cities are named Caesarea, of course. Now, Caesarea Philippi was located northeast of Caesarea Maritima and situated at the southwest base of Mount Hermon. So you can look on your maps, your Bible maps, and see how they're situated. Now, the King James makes it seem that the purpose of the trip was to greet Festus, and it probably was. But that's not how Luke put it grammatically. There is no purpose clause here, or at least not a common one. Literally, he wrote, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived in Caesarea greeting Festus. Now, the fact that the word greeting or greet is a participle rather than a verb mitigates its force somewhat. Right, Jimmy? Pastor has told us that in these Greek sentences, the verb is the strongest word. It governs the sentence. And the participles are just helper there. Well, this word greet is a helper word. Now, the word greet is a word that can be interpreted regularly, just as the regular word to greet, or it could have a stronger sense, in which case the greeting refers to a hospitable recognition and welcome. So the word could imply that there was some connection between Agrippa and Festus. You know, maybe it's just as fellow governors in the region. We don't know, but that's the word that Luke used. So the degree of sincerity in the greeting between Agrippa and Festus is beyond our grasp, but it appears that Agrippa warmly welcomed Festus to the region. But one never knows with politicians, or perhaps one always knows. The Agrippa in this passage is Agrippa II, the son, of course, of Agrippa I, who was the one who tried to kill Peter, I think back in Acts chapter 12, and who died at this very palace, the one in Caesarea Maritima, in a most horrendous way. And Agrippa was also the great-grandson of Herod the Great. So the text tells us that it was Bernice and King Agrippa who came to Caesarea to greet Festus. Now, what's interesting is that Bernice and Agrippa were siblings. She was Agrippa's younger sister. And in fact, she was the sister of Drusilla, the wife of Felix, the previous governor. So incestuous relationships were not uncommon in that family. And I think history attests to that. Now, at that time, no one believed that Agrippa and Bernice lived together as brother and sister. In fact, at one time, in order to squelch the rumors, she entered into a marriage of convenience. But that only lasted some months, and she divorced and returned to her brother's side. Now, the young Agrippa had to earn the right to govern. When his father died in 44 AD, he was only 17. Now, he was a favorite of Claudius, and Claudius was inclined to let him try his hand at governing, but counselors wisely advised him that that wasn't a good idea. So Agrippa had to wait. However, in 55 AD, when he was the ripe old age of 23, he was given his first kingdom. And he ruled well enough to have his kingdom extended. So at this point, he now had the following responsibilities. Number one, he was responsible for appointing the Jewish high priest. He was the curator of the temple, and he was the keeper of the sacred vestments that were worn by the priests on Yom Kippur. Thus, he was knowledgeable of Judaism. And this brings us to verse 14, where we see that Agrippa and Bernice were content to spend several days with Festus at Caesarea. Verse 14, when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king. The word declared there could be interpreted as referred. Festus referred, literally, the things against Paul, saying. And so the verb implies that he was seeking after a recommendation. And this is exactly what Festus is requesting. As far as Rome was concerned, Agrippa was the Roman authority on Judaism. So if one needed someone to advise them on how to deal with the Jews, then Agrippa was the man. Now, most commentators infer from this whole context, actually of the whole chapter, that Festus was in a bind because Paul had appealed to Caesar. And since Paul would be sent to Rome, Festus needed to write a letter explaining Paul's presence before the emperor. Now, you may recall that when Paul first came to Caesarea, Claudius Lysias, the chief captain of the temple guard, had written a letter to Felix explaining why Paul was showing up at his court. Well, now Festus has to do the same thing for Nero. Because the big question was, why was Paul being sent to Rome anyway? What's going on? The Jews had somewhat badgered Festus into making a bad decision. He should have acquitted Paul and freed him. But the Jews were persistent. And for some reason, Felix hadn't made a decision. In other words, in Festus's mind, Felix hadn't made a decision, and he wasn't sure why, maybe. And the Jews were just on him. Festus tried to please the Jews, and Paul burned him by appealing his case to Caesar. But let's see how Festus makes his pitch to Agrippa for advice. Verse 14 says, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix." What is Festus's argument? He's basically complaining that scoundrel Felix left a certain man in bonds that now I have to deal with. So you recall, that's what happened, right? Felix, his term was over. He's going back to Rome. He wanted to do the Jews a favor, so he left Paul in bonds. Secondly, verse 15, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. That is, against Paul. While Festus was in Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews, and that's exactly what the Greek says, but it implies that they brought to light formal charges and were requesting a judgment against Paul. In other words, they were asking for a conviction. That was the point of them speaking to Festus. This man needs to be convicted of his crimes. And the word that Luke uses implies that they were formal charges. It wasn't like, well, you know, we're upset with this guy, blah, blah, blah. No, it was no. We have a legal complaint against him. We want you to hear it and convict him. Because surely he's guilty. Verse 16. But I answered and told them, it is not a custom with Romans to hand over any man before that the one being accused might have the opportunity for a face-to-face with the accusers. That's what Luke wrote. A Roman citizen had the right to face the accusers and not through some written correspondence, but face-to-face in a court of law. And he says, and moreover, the defendant has a right to defend himself concerning the criminal charge. And you can imagine that the word there for defend is apologias. So secondly, he's telling Agrippa that he has, and he always does, conscientiously uphold Roman law. And he did so this time virtually on his first day of office. Now, I mean, literally it wasn't his first day, but it was the first week at least. And then thirdly in verse 17, therefore, when they came hither, remember that Festus had asked them that if they wanted to bring the charge, they had to come to Caesarea, because they wanted to do it there in Jerusalem, so that when Paul was being transferred from Caesarea to Jerusalem, they could ambush him and kill him. And Festus said, no, it makes more sense that you guys come with me back to Caesarea, since I'm going back there shortly. And so that's why he says, so when they got here, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. So thirdly, Festus is arguing that then, having come together in the palace, without any delay, literally, having made no delay, the next day, having sat upon the tribunal, I ordered the man to be brought forth. So thirdly, he is making the point to the king that he acted and that he always acts with dispatch. And I think that is true of him, at least at the beginning of his term. So, remember, he wants Agrippa's help. So he's trying to convince him that he didn't screw up and he legitimately needs some advice. So, we know that in the previous verses 1 through 12, the Jews did arrive in Caesarea, and they did address Festus in the court. And here is Festus's account of it in verse 18. So the King James is very close to the original. Against whom, that is against Paul, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed. So I will only point out that Festus, I believe, is secretly upset with himself and the Jews. How so? Well, I'll note this below, but I'll mention it here, that Festus was seeking favor with the Jews when he asked Paul if he would go back to Jerusalem to be tried there. Back in verse 9. But he is not disclosing this to Agrippa Right? You'll see he doesn't ever mention that, oh, I felt pressured and so I did this. He never says that. But deep inside, he knows that's why he's in this bind. Now, why do I infer that he's upset? Because he doesn't say it. Until now, in other words, in verses 13 through 17, the verbs are mostly aorist tense. Right? The aorist just means you're stating a fact. What were the facts? Agrippa arrived at Caesarea, aorist tense. They spent many days there, aorist tense. The Jews brought charges, aorist tense. I answered them, aorist tense. But now in verse 18, he changes the tense to the imperfect. So he's saying that the Jews were continually bringing charges. And I continue to be suspicious as they relentlessly were stating their charges against him over and over again. To my astonishment, they went on and on. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I was totally unfamiliar with the charges they were bringing. They were wholly outside of my experience. I believe that's what his argument was. Why were they bringing charges that he could not relate to? Verse 19. But they had certain questions against him of their own superstition. And of one Jesus who was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. So he knew that the charges were about certain questions concerning their own system of religion. Now that word translated superstition, and which I translate system of religion, is the same word that Paul used in Athens in Acts 17. Remember he said, I see that you guys are extremely superstitious. Well, it's the same word. And the word can be used positively and negatively, right? Negatively, it refers to superstitions. Positively, it refers to a system of religion. So their charges were about their own system of religion and concerning a certain Jesus who was dead, whom Paul is claiming lives. It's like the gospel, right? The logic is not that difficult. It's the meaning that's hard to deal with. Well, it's the same here. He could follow the logic. He just couldn't relate to it. Verse 20. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. See, so that's how he rationalizes it. He's saying, I was unfamiliar, as if he's in Jerusalem, he would become more familiar with Judaism. So really, it doesn't hold water, I don't think. I don't think it holds water. But that's how he's making this pitch to Agrippa. He doesn't want Agrippa to say, you messed up, man. You're on your own. Sorry. So Luke wrote, I don't know if this is illuminating or not, but he says, and I doubting the concerning of this subject. So he didn't understand really anything about what they were talking about. So I said, if he might go to Jerusalem and there to be judged concerning these things. Now the I doubting in this sentence is emphatic. Luke uses the emphatic personal pronoun I. He says, I, myself doubting such manner of questions. Therefore, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem. And then we know that Paul appealed to Caesar at that time. Verse 21. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. So he claims that Paul appealed to him that he should be guarded at Caesarea until such time as he could plead his case before Nero. But really, that was not what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, no, I don't want to be judged here in Caesarea nor in Jerusalem, but in Rome before Nero. But Festus is saying, well, because he wanted to be kept guarded, I ordered him to be guarded until such time that I could send him to Caesar. So fourthly, his argument is that he really needs Agrippa's help with these matters. So Paul lays before Agrippa the strange case of Paul v. the Sanhedrin, the high priest, et al. Festus needs Agrippa's knowledge of the Jews, his experience with the Jews, and wisdom concerning them, so that he can draft his letter to Nero and explain why Paul is there in Rome, and why Paul has not, or not Paul, but Festus. And it has to imply that Festus has not messed up on his very first day in office. So, what was his argument to Agrippa? That scoundrel Felix left me with a certain man in bonds. And it was like the tip of the iceberg, right? Because underneath that incarceration was this huge Jewish conspiracy against him. Secondly, he argued that he conscientiously upholds Roman law, and he did so virtually on his first day in office. You know, I mean, look at me. I didn't mess up. I'm confident. From day one, I knew how to uphold Roman laws in the context of this Jewish nation. And again, we know that he probably shot himself in the foot, but he's not going to mention this. Thirdly, he makes the point to the king that he acted with dispatch. So it wasn't like he's in a bind because he procrastinated. He goes, no, I took care of things. They just went sideways. And then fourthly, he's saying, this is a very strange and very Jewish problem. I really need your help and expertise with this situation. So this is Festus, the politician, trying to get himself out of a bind. And for him, it was providential that Agrippa and Bernice came to see him. Because there he had the king of Judea in his house, where he had his full attention to get his help, his recommendations, his advice. And so, this is how Festus presents the issues in order to get that help. So next week, we'll see, Lord willing, what happens when Paul gets to preach to Agrippa and Bernice and Festus. So, let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for Luke's vivid writing. We thank you, Lord, for your word and the book of Acts that gives us the history and context of early Christianity. We pray, Lord, that you might apply it to our lives and help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.